Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Being smart about smart communities. A lot of attention is being given to shaping and reshaping our communities to make them even better places to live and work. Emphasis is on sustainability, green space, transportation, maximum use of today's technology. Planners will be meeting here next week to talk about making smart communities that work for everyone. It's a national gathering called the New Partners for Smart Growth Conference. Joining us by phone from Sacramento is Kate Meese, Executive Director of the Local Government Commission, which is organizing the Smart Growth Conference. The local chair is Eric Friedman, President of the Friedman Group Realtors and Friedman Development Group. He joins me in studio. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Great to be here with you.
Great to be on, Don. Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure. Kate, I'd like to start with you so that we can fully understand what we're talking about here today. Give me a good working definition, if you would, of smart growth and smart communities.
Sure. So for me, smart growth is using resources efficiently and creating choices and opportunities for all residents. So what does that look like in practice? It looks like providing places for all residents to live in a safe and healthy neighborhood with access to jobs and educational opportunities. It looks like providing options for people to walk, bike, or take transit to their daily destinations. And it looks like creating vibrant places for people to connect and to innovate.
Eric, let me ask you how, on the basis of that definition, how St. Louis stacks up in this regard.
We're moving forward slowly but surely. We've got some great assets. Metrolink is one of those great assets, little great transit system. We need to develop more transfer and development around it. We've got some great streets in America, the Washington Avenue corridor downtown, the Delmar Loop. Many other great inner ring suburbs and neighborhoods that provide great living opportunities that are walkable and bikeable and with transportation around them that effectuate that.
Kate, it would seem to me that the big challenge in this regard is taking communities that are older, such as St. Louis, and finding ways to meet the criteria that you've established. It takes time, it takes money, and it takes political will and community will.
That's right, and we need all of those things, and that's part of why we bring people together so that they can connect and they can figure out how other regions that look like their region all across the nation have been able to foster community champions, have been able to piece together strategic financing options, have been able to set in place the planning documents, general plans, and other plans that set forth 20, 30-year visions. And it looks like repurposing. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities with older areas, and we're going to tour a number of them in St. Louis that have successfully taken older, perhaps dilapidated buildings that no longer really meet the needs of the people that live in the community now, and turning them into vibrant places for businesses or for mixed-use commercial and residential areas that meet the needs of people in the community now.
You hit upon something there that I think we have to emphasize as well, is we're not only talking about residential areas, we are talking about commercial areas as well and integrating all of that.
That's right. I mean, the way that we have worked has changed really dramatically, and that's impacted the growth of communities. So the historical development that was based on high-polluting, industrial, factory-type work where we needed to, for health reasons, keep people living far away from those polluting uses is no longer the dominant type of work we have now. So we have an opportunity to live closer to where we work and also to take some of those large buildings, those large industrial uses, and turn them into areas that look like what we need now, whether that's residential or the smaller commercial uses that meet the needs of the current economy.
Erica, coming back to the look, go ahead. You wanted to say something. Go
sure.
ahead.
Sure. So we're very fortunate, John, to have the Missouri Historic Tax Credit here, a great champion, Kate mentioned champions. Very important element here. People getting behind these issues, really bringing people together in coalitions, alliances. Jerry Schlichter started the Missouri Historic Tax Credit. We worked on passing that in 96. The Wall Street Journal called it a model for the nation. And hopefully this legislature won't destroy it this year. It's the thing that's rebuilt our downtown, 100 buildings, 5,000 new residents downtown. And the goal was not just preservation. It was to build a place where young people want to live and work. We're very successful at that now, and we now have an explosion of entrepreneurial activity at Cortex, a great innovation community. They're actually housed in a historic building, and the CET building is an expansion, a historic building, as is T-Rex downtown, housed in a historic building on Washington Avenue, one of those great streets in America. So we now see young people really wanting to come here, and we were losing all of our young people before. We didn't know the statistics, but we were ranked 27th out of 35 peer cities in college graduates before this all happened. And now CEOs for cities said we had the highest increase in a central business district of college graduates in the country.
Well, that is certainly encouraging. But correct me if I'm wrong here, Eric. My memory may not be all that accurate here. Didn't we get a taste of the importance of the historic tax credits during the Reagan administration? It seems to me that the Reagan administration did away with them, and development in St. Louis came to a screeching halt.
You're absolutely right. Actually, they didn't do away with them, but in 1986, they changed the historic tax credit from 25% to 20%. And you're absolutely right. It dropped off by 92%. Mm. Your memory serves you very well. And in St. Louis, it dropped off by 92%. One of the great things in St. Louis, we have this low housing cost, low occupancy cost, office space and housing, great value, but our construction cost is fairly high. And so that it just didn't work anymore. And that's when Jerry decided we really have to do something about this.
Kate, how about in other parts of the country? I mean, how does this stack up in other places, the tax credits?
Yeah, we're seeing pieces of that all over. And in California, we had redevelopment agencies where we were able to get tax increment financing to develop dilapidated areas and put in affordable housing. And that was actually taken away at the state level. So we've really been struggling to find other mechanisms to support infill and revitalization. But this has been a really important piece of the smart growth movement across the nation, is finding and protecting tools like the historic tax credit, because that is key. We know that while smart growth is better for the economy in terms of the tax revenue generated and the lower cost for construction and roads and sewers and services, but it is, when you have older infrastructure, it can be very costly to renovate that, and we need to acknowledge that. And acknowledge that for many years we've been subsidizing sprawl through paying for the additional cost of infrastructure to build further and further out. So we need to figure out ways that we can really flip that and incentivize the type of growth that's good for the economy and good for the environment as well.
What is your organization's involvement in these new communities, these communities that have developed as a result of sprawl? I mean, are you able to have any kind of influence as to how these kinds of neighborhoods are developed along the lines you described earlier, with plenty of green and bike trails and all the rest of it?
We work with champions and with local residents in those communities to identify the local priorities that they have. So, you know, our influence really comes from providing models to local champions. So in more suburban areas, that could look like commercial corridor revitalization. So a lot of these areas have long corridors with businesses that may or may not be doing well, depending on how many people live nearby and frequent their stores. So there are things we can do to help revitalize those commercial corridors. Definitely increasing biking and walking, so putting in the infrastructure, safe bike lanes, helping create safe routes to school, things like that that can support livability, elements of livability within, you know, really any neighborhood.
Specifically, how does your organization work with a place like St. Louis? You've got to find those champions. I imagine people like Eric in St. Louis would be very helpful in that regard. But how do you work with these communities?
Yep, we work through three primary areas. So we work through connecting leaders, and that's through our large events like the National New Partners for Smart Growth Conference that will take us to St. Louis next week. We also provide low-cost technical assistance. So that's actually coming in and helping put in bike lanes, helping create bike and pedestrian plans, actually doing the revitalization, talking to businesses about facade improvements that they can do to drive more traffic, and then providing policy guidance. So we can come in and look at zoning codes that may be a barrier for the type of smart growth development we're talking about. We can look at proactive policies that can encourage infill and active transportation and resource conservation. So it's really through those three areas, connecting leaders, technical assistance, and then policy guidance.
I and our organization, Housing Community Solutions, the not-for-profit in our office, is a perfect example. We went to the first conference. The National Association of Realtors has a smart growth department. They sent me to a conference, and we were encouraged by the EPA to go after a sustainable buildings block grant, which provided technical assistance. We did that, and we won that grant that brought Dan Burton to St. Louis, who appeared on your show a while back. And that, I didn't even know who Dan Burton was when I went to the conference. Dan started a whole process of helping us work in this community, came back four times, did a program at the Federal Reserve on teaching a lot of people here about walkability, bikeability, and making the community safer. And so this conference is very near and dear to my heart, because that's how I got introduced to Dan and started down this road on helping beyond the historic tax credit, beyond the other work we were doing on Metrolink. And we also worked on PACE, Property Assessed Clean Energy, which is a great financing mechanism to help us be more efficient. But this conference brought people together, and it continues to do that, and we hope people will take advantage of it here in St. Louis. We have some great opportunities we're going to tell you about.
Yeah. We have to take a break, but Kate, let me just quickly ask you, how is this whole concept catching on nationally? Is there any real momentum being generated?
Absolutely. We're seeing a tremendous amount of momentum, and this is the 16th year we've done this. Over the last 15 years, the awareness around the issues of smart growth has really reached a peak, I think, and we're seeing that in demand from Americans, you know, across the nation. So 60% of Americans favor neighborhoods with a walkable mix of houses and stores. 50% say that walkability is either the top priority or high priority when deciding where they want to live. We see rent premiums on multifamily, retail, and residential, all within infill mixed-use areas. So we're seeing a huge shift, a market shift in demand for this, and a growing awareness as well.
That is Kate Meese, Executive Director of the Local Government Commission, which is organizing the conference, the Smart Growth Conference, going to be held here in St. Louis next week. She joins us from Sacramento by phone. Eric Friedman, who is local, and the Friedman Group Realtors Organization, is with me in studio. We'll continue our conversation about smart growth and smart growth communities in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on smart growth communities with Kate Meese and Eric Friedman. Kate, back to you. How do we stack up in this country compared to, let's say, Western Europe? It seems to me that they may be pretty much ahead of us in this area. Am I wrong on that?
I don't think you're wrong. It's just hard to compare. There's such a different landscape there. We don't have the same scarcity of land. So it's, you know, we haven't really been forced to make more strategic decisions, and, you know, really having so much of our growth be newer historically. I look at the West Coast, and, you know, having the influence of the automobile be such a driving force on how we've grown our communities. I actually got into this field through doing my thesis comparing the United States and the Netherlands and some different pieces looking at the reaction to the Arab oil embargo, and then also just looking at the amount we've invested in alternative transportation, biking in particular, and you see a number of different things that impact that, but the amount of land is certainly one of them. The amount of investment is huge. They spend more like a third of their budget on biking and walking, and here it's, you know, more like 1%. So there are some major differences that we have to make up, but I think we're certainly on the right track.
From your national perspective, can you tell me, do you know how St. Louis stacks up in a very general way compared to other cities, maybe comparable cities in this country?
I think St. Louis is doing a great job. That's why we chose to locate the conference there. We've been to a lot of the traditional smart growth leaders like Portland. But St. Louis has a different story to tell, and I think a really compelling story to tell. In the 19th century, St. Louis was the gateway for America's westward expansion, and today is a beacon for 21st century innovations and technology and sustainability. So, you know, we're looking for different examples and examples that will speak to communities that are more like St. Louis, that are struggling with changing industry and trying to really reimagine what the future of their community looks like. So in that sense, I think St. Louis is really paving the way and a great spot for us to hold the conference and to really daylight some of the great things that you guys are doing as, you know, an innovation hub that can boast more than 1,000 startups. So I think you guys are doing a great job, and we're really looking forward to all our participants across the nation being able to see some of the good work happening on the ground there.
That is great to hear. And Eric, congratulations to people like you who are making this happen. That's a pretty nice recommendation.
It is, and a lot of people have been working on this for a long time. Bob Lewis at Development Strategies, one of the co-chairs of our broadband collaborative, worked on the medical technopolis 25 years ago that's now Cortex. Mm. And so that ground has been laid for a long time working on it. It takes really great champions and leaders. John Dubinsky came along with another real estate guy and really helped to move that along. Dennis Lohr at Cortex. It's great. It's all about people coming together. It's not just one person. It's a lot of people coming together, working together, making it happen, basically. And we need that momentum to continue. We're going in the right direction, but we need a lot more momentum, in my view.
You know, Eric, I'll start with you on this. In reading about this whole concept, the word that keeps coming up again and again, and Kate has mentioned it several times, as have you, and that is biking. Biking seems to be almost a critical component of all of what we're talking about here.
Absolutely, in lots of different ways, because young people, older people are looking to get more exercise. A third of the people moving downtown are empty nesters, people who want a walkable, more bikeable environment where they can walk out their door like you, go to a restaurant, etc. So biking is really important. I have a neighbor on my block who bikes to work every day, who's a little younger than I, but it's really critical that we provide alternative transportation modes for people. It's healthier, and we have a big obesity and diabetes crisis in our country. And it also takes pollution out of the air, makes our community much, much better. And we're going to see a pop-up bike lane downtown on the 1st of February. This is one of the kind of things Kate was talking about. And this is the first ever local day that the conference has done. And we kind of, the local planning committee made up of 40 different organizations that came together. And the other co-chairmen are GRG, Great Rivers Greenway and TrailNet, and also somebody from Tower Grove Community Development Corporation. We're working on bringing all these people together to make it happen. So we'll be able to see a pop-up bike lane on Pine Street between 7th and 9th on the 1st of February.
Kate, biking is a big deal, isn't it?
It is, and I think Eric hit the nail on the head. It helps address some of our biggest challenges, obesity and air quality. And we found that people who are on bike actually spend more money in local businesses. It's easier for them to stop. They're at the street level. They're going slower, so they can really experience the community at that level of the street. The other piece is really important is walking, and especially as we look at our large aging population, who, you know, at some point will no longer be able to drive, it's critical for quality of life and for them to continue to be able to shop and to meet their daily needs to have opportunities outside of driving. So I think that's going to be increasingly important.
You know, one thing that hasn't come up, and maybe it's not something you devote too much attention to, but it certainly is a part of any urban area, and that is crime. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of involvement with your organization or with your whole concept here dealing with that issue. It is an issue in St. Louis, and it does stifle
yep.
growth.
Yeah, that is certainly an issue, both real crime and in some areas the perceived increase of crime, when a lot of areas have shown that actually on a per capita basis there isn't more crime in downtown infill areas. But the critical piece of this that we address through the conference and through our work is having eyes on the street. And so that's where you really want to activate places with positive uses, so that you have eyes on the street, you have people paying attention, you have people reporting when they see stuff, and that can really transform a community. So whether that's at a park level, we've worked with local groups to start walking, you know, neighborhood walking groups and other things to really activate that space, you know, food trucks or fairs. That can be a great strategy to shifting over to more positive uses. And the same goes for the way you orient a neighborhood and your community uses. You want stores that face out. You don't want huge setbacks and, you know, large parking lots in front of blocking the store and the eyes that are there. So we think that through positive uses, through eyes on the street, you can really address the crime that's there.
That's where the bikers come in. They're on the street. They're not moving as fast
yep.
as someone in a car.
Exactly. And I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier that Dan Burton came to St. Louis and helped us learn to make communities more walkable, bikeable, and safe. Mm-hmm. That safety element is really there. It's exactly what Kate's talking about. When we have more people walking on the street, biking on the street, when cars are going slower, complete streets, and we don't have these four-lane roads, basically, mm-hmm. and they are attractive and they're inviting for people to be on the street. And thereby we get also more retail traffic and we get more business. It becomes a different kind of community, like we experience on streets like the Grove now and Cherokee's coming back. The Loop was completely vacant in the 70s when I first moved to U-City. And so now it's one of the great streets in America.
That is the movement of people gives a real vibrancy to
and local businesses also. That's a key, too. A good balance of local businesses that are unique and provide opportunity, and they invest more in the community as opposed to buying things from Amazon, you know, like Left Bank Books in the Central West End. Who also pays sales tax, unlike some of these online companies.
Well, Amazon, effective February 1st, is going to charge sales tax in Missouri.
For the first time.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
Well, there was somewhere else I wanted. Oh, I know, Eric, with you, I understand the participants in the conference next week are going to be taking on what are called model local projects, as I understand it. What are some of those here in St. Louis?
Well, we're going to be visiting Cortex. We're going to be visiting a number of different historic areas. There's a historic tour. There's the botanical garden tour where we have some great energy-efficient housing, great restaurants, really, and a great school, the Child Garden School over there. It was really a very holistic approach in terms of neighborhood redevelopment over there. And we're working on doing that in all kinds of other neighborhoods, like the Cherokee area and those kinds of places. There'll be a number of tours going into various areas, seeing various kinds of things, including energy-efficient housing and energy-efficient buildings. We've got some great developers doing that kind of work here.
Yeah. Kate, what do you want the participants in your conference to take away from it? Obviously, you're going to be doing a lot of talking about ideas and concepts and what have you, but what then? They take it back to their communities, and what do you want to happen?
Sure. Yeah, our focus the last few years has been on really providing practical tools and strategies for great communities. And so my hope is that they leave with some specific people they've met that they can call for ideas, that they leave with specific funding or financing strategies, and that they leave with the inspiration to do a very tangible project over the next year or so. So that's our hope, and we've seen it. We've seen it happen with folks like Eric. We've seen it happen with, we have one community in California, the city of Windsor, that has sent their entire council for years and have really transformed their downtown to look like the smart growth vision that we've been talking about, bikeable, walkable, mix of uses. So, you know, we have seen a real change, and we think that we can have that impact on St. Louis. And the thing that I'm really excited about is actually being able to provide some technical assistance. So in addition to bringing all these experts and, you know, peer leaders across the nation, we're leaving some tangible leave behinds as well. So we're working with local partners to revitalize a vacant lot into a park. We have some art installations going in, and then we've got some free workshops available for local residents as well. So we hope to really make a strong connection between the conference and the community this year.
And Eric, so as I mentioned, for the first time ever, we're going to have a free local day. The conference was very open to that. And we're going to have a do-it-yourself program on the 1st from 1 to 6 at the Marriott. People can just show up. We've got a lot of room there. And we're also going to have that evening on the 1st a Pecha Kucha event, which is 10 very fast presentations around the issue of smart growth. One of the women who's presenting, Manesha Patel, used to work for the White House on the Environmental Quality Council, and is going to be talking about butterflies coming to St. Louis. I think that's just the title, and it's going to be much broader than that. But we have a lot of great people, local people, national people, going to be at the Pecha Kucha. And then so people can come and learn for free. And they also, Kate's going to mention something else, they're going to have a chance to win a full conference registration when they come to these events.
We'll put some information on our website. We're going to have to call it a day for the moment. Kate Meese and Eric Friedman, thank you so much for being with us. That New Partners for Smart Growth Conference is happening Thursday, February 2nd through the February 4th at the Marriott Grand Hotel downtown. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us,
Thanks
Don.
For having
you.
Us, Don.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.